And now chapter 17 of the Adi Lila, the pastimes of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in his youth.
Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda.
Let me offer my respectful obeisances to Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, by whose mercy even unclean yavanas become perfectly well-bred gentlemen by chanting the holy name of the Lord. Such is the power of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. All glories to Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. All glories to Lord Nityananda Prabhu. All glories to Advaita Acharya. And all glories to the devotees of Lord Chaitanya. I have already given a synopsis of the Kaishur Leela of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Now let me enumerate his youthful pastimes in chronological order. Exhibiting his scholarship, beauty, and fine dress, Lord Chaitanya danced, chanted, and distributed the holy name of the Lord to awaken dormant love of Krishna. Thus, Lord Sri Gaudasundara shone in his youthful pastimes. As he entered his youth, the Lord decorated himself with ornaments, dressed himself in fine cloth, garlanded himself with flowers, and smeared himself with sandalwood. By dint of pride in his education, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, not caring for anyone else, defeated all kinds of learned scholars while executing his studies. In his youth, the Lord, on the plea of disturbances of the bodily airs, exhibited his ecstatic love of Krishna. Accompanied by his confidential devotees, he enjoyed various pastimes in this way. Thereafter, the Lord went to Gaya. There he met Srila Ishvara Puri. In Gaya, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was initiated by Ishvara Puri, and immediately afterwards he exhibited signs of love of Godhead. He again displayed such symptoms after returning home. Thereafter, the Lord delivered love of Krishna to his mother, Shachi Devi, nullifying her offense at the feet of Advaitacharya. Thus, there was a meeting with Advaitacharya, who later had a vision of the Lord's universal form. Srivas Thakur then worshipped Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu by the process of Abhishek. Sitting on a cot, the Lord exhibited transcendental opulence. After this function, at the house of Srivas Thakur, Nityananda Prabhu appeared, and when he met with Lord Chaitanya, he got the opportunity to see him in his six-armed form. One day, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu exhibited to Lord Nityananda Prabhu a six-armed form bearing a conch shell, disc, club, lotus flower, bow, and flute. Thereafter, the Lord showed him his four-armed form, standing in a three-curved posture. With two hands, he played upon a flute, and in the other two, he carried a conch shell and disc. Finally, the Lord showed Nityananda Prabhu his two-armed form of Krishna, the son of Maharaj Nanda, simply playing on his flute, his bluish body dressed in yellow garments. Nityananda Prabhu then arranged to offer Vyasa Puja, or worship of the spiritual master, to Lord Sri Gaudasundara. But Lord Chaitanya carried the plow-like weapon called Mushal in the ecstasy of being Nityananda Prabhu. Thereafter, Mother Shachi Devi saw the brothers Krishna and Balaram in their manifestation of Lord Chaitanya and Nityananda. Then the Lord delivered the two brothers, Jagai and Madhai. After this incident, The Lord remained in an ecstatic position for 21 hours, and all the devotees saw his specific pastimes. One day, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu felt the ecstasy of the boar incarnation and got up on the shoulders of Murari Gupta. Thus, they both danced in Murari Gupta's courtyard. After this incident, the Lord ate raw rice given by Shuklambara Brahmachari and explained very elaborately the import of the Hari Nam shloka mentioned in the Brihan Naradiya Purana, which states, "In this age of Kali, there is no other means, no other means, no other means for self-realization than chanting the holy name, chanting the holy name, chanting the holy name of Lord Hari. In this age of Kali, the holy name of the Lord, the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, is the incarnation of Lord Krishna. Simply by chanting the holy name, one associates with the Lord directly. Anyone who does this is certainly delivered." This verse repeats the word Eva, or certainly, three times for emphasis. And it also three times repeats Hari Nam, or the holy name of the Lord, just to make common people understand. The use of the word keval, or only, prohibits all other processes such as cultivation of knowledge, practice of mystic yoga, and performance of austerities and fruitive activities. This verse clearly states that anyone who accepts any other path cannot be delivered. This is the reason for the triple repetition, nothing else, nothing else, nothing else, which emphasizes the real process of self-realization. To chant the holy name always, one should be humbler than the grass in the street and devoid of all desire for personal honor, but one should offer others all respectful obeisances. A devotee engaged in chanting the holy name of the Lord should practice forbearance like that of a tree. Even if rebuked or chastised, he should not say anything to others to retaliate. For even if one cuts a tree, it never protests, nor even if it is drying up and dying, does it ask anyone for water. Thus, a Vaishnava should not ask anything from anyone else. If someone gives him something without being asked, he should accept it. But if nothing comes, a Vaishnava should be satisfied to eat whatever vegetables and fruits are easily available. One should strictly follow the principle of always chanting the holy name, and one should be satisfied with whatever he gets easily. Such devotional behavior solidly maintains one's devotional service. One who thinks himself lower than the grass, who is more tolerant than a tree, and who does not expect personal honor, yet is always prepared to give all respect to others, can very easily always chant the holy name of the Lord. Raising my hands, I declare, everyone please hear me. String this verse on the thread of the holy name and wear it on your neck for continuous remembrance. One must strictly follow the principles given by Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in this verse. If one simply follows in the footsteps of Lord Chaitanya and the Goswamis, certainly he will achieve the ultimate goal of life, the lotus feet of Sri Krishna. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu regularly led congregational chanting of the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra in the house of Srivas Thakur every night for one full year. Thus, the non-believers almost burned to ashes and died in envy. To retaliate, they planned various ways to give trouble to Srivas Thakur. One night, while kirtan was going on inside Srivas Thakur's house, a Brahmin named Gopal Chapal the chief of the non-believers, who was talkative and very rough in his speech, placed all the paraphernalia for worshiping the goddess Durga outside Srivast Thakur's door. On the upper portion of a plantain leaf, he placed such paraphernalia for worship as odapula, turmeric, vermilion, red sandalwood, and rice. He placed a pot of wine beside all this, and in the morning, when Srivast Thakur opened his door, he saw this paraphernalia. Srivast Thakur called for all the respectable gentlemen of the neighborhood and smilingly addressed them as follows.
Gentlemen, every night I worship the goddess Bhavani. Since the paraphernalia for the worship is present here, now all you respectable Brahmins and members of the higher castes can understand my position.
Then all the assembled gentlemen exclaimed, "What is this? What is this? Who has performed such mischievous activities? Who is that sinful man?" They called for a sweeper who threw all the items of worship far away and cleansed the place by mopping it with a mixture of water and cow dung. After 3 days, leprosy attacked Gopal Chapal, and blood oozed from sores all over his body. Incessantly covered with germs and insects biting him all over his body, Gopal Chapal felt unbearable pain. His entire body burned in distress. Since leprosy is an infectious disease, Gopal Chapal left the village to sit down on the bank of the Ganges underneath a tree. One day, however, he saw Chaitanya Mahaprabhu passing by and spoke to him as follows.
"My dear nephew, I am your maternal uncle in our village relationship. Please see how greatly this attack of leprosy has afflicted me. As an incarnation of God, you are delivering so many fallen souls. I am also a greatly unhappy fallen soul. Kindly deliver me by your mercy."
Hearing this, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu appeared greatly angry, and in that angry mood, he spoke some words chastising him. "O sinful person, envious of pure devotees, I shall not deliver you. Rather, I shall have you bitten by these germs for many millions of years. You have made Srivast Thakur appear to have been worshipping the goddess Bhavani. Simply for this offense, you will have to fall down into hellish life for 10 million births. I have appeared in this incarnation to kill the demons or pasandis, and after killing them, to preach the cult of devotional service." After saying this, the Lord left to take his bath in the Ganges, and that sinful man did not give up his life, but continued to suffer. When Sri Chaitanya, after accepting the renounced order of life, went to Jagannath Puri, and then came back to the village of Kulia, upon his return, that sinful man took shelter at the Lord's lotus feet. The Lord, being merciful to him, gave him instructions for his benefit. The Lord said, "You have committed an offense at the lotus feet of Srivast Thakur. First you must go there and beg for his mercy, and then if he gives you his blessings, and you do not commit such sins again, you will be freed from these reactions." Then the Brahmin Gopal Chapal went to Srivast Thakur and took shelter of his lotus feet, and by Srivast Thakur's mercy, he was freed from all sinful reactions. Another Brahmin also came to see the kirtan performance, but the door was closed and he could not enter the hall. He returned home with an unhappy mind, but on the next day he met Lord Chaitanya on the bank of the Ganges and spoke to him. The Brahmin was expert in talking harshly and cursing others. Thus he broke his sacred thread and declared,
I shall now curse you, for your behavior has greatly aggrieved me.
The Brahmin cursed the Lord.
You shall be bereft of all material happiness.
When the Lord heard this, he felt great jubilation within himself. Any faithful person who hears of this Brahmin's cursing Lord Chaitanya is delivered from all Brahminical curses. In another incident, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu blessed Mukunda Dutt with punishment, and in that way vanquished all his mental depression. Lord Chaitanya respected Advaitacharya as his spiritual master, but Advaitacharya Prabhu was greatly aggrieved by such behavior. Thus he whimsically began to explain the path of philosophical speculation, and the Lord, in his anger, seemingly disrespected him. At that time, Advaitacharya was greatly pleased. The Lord understood this, and he was somewhat ashamed, but he offered Advaitacharya his benediction. Murari Gupta was a great devotee of Lord Ramachandra. When Lord Chaitanya heard Lord Ramachandra's glories from his mouth, he immediately wrote on his forehead, Ramdas, or the eternal servant of Lord Ramachandra. Once Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu went to the house of Sridhar after kirtan and drank water from his damaged iron pot. Then he bestowed his benediction upon all the devotees according to their desires. After this incident, the Lord blessed Haridas Thakur and vanquished the offense of his mother at the home of Advaitacharya. Once the Lord explained the glories of the holy name to the devotees, but some ordinary students who heard him fashioned their own interpretation. When a student interpreted the glories of the holy name as a prayer of exaggeration, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, greatly unhappy, immediately warned everyone not to see the student's face henceforward. Without even changing his garments, Lord Chaitanya with his companions took bath in the Ganges. Then he explained the glories of devotional service. By following the paths of speculative, philosophical knowledge, fruitive activity, or mystic yoga to control the senses, one cannot satisfy Krishna, the Supreme Lord. Unalloyed devotional love for Krishna is the only cause for the Lord's satisfaction. In the Srimad Bhagavatam, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna, said, My dear Uddhava, neither through Ashtanga Yoga, or the mystic yoga system to control the senses, nor through impersonal monism, or an analytical study of the absolute truth, nor through study of the Vedas, nor through practice of austerities, nor through charity, nor through acceptance of sannyas, can one satisfy me as much as one can by developing unalloyed devotional service unto me. Lord Chaitanya then praised Murari Gupta, saying, You have satisfied Lord Krishna. Hearing this, Murari Gupta quoted a verse from Srimad Bhagavatam. He said, Since I am but a poor, sinful Brahma Bandhu, not Brahminically qualified, although born in a Brahmin family, and you, Lord Krishna, are the shelter of the Goddess of Fortune, it is simply wonderful, my dear Lord Krishna, that you have embraced me with your arms. One day the Lord performed Sankirtan with all his devotees, and when they were greatly fatigued, they sat down. The Lord then sowed a mango seed in the yard, and immediately the seed fructified into a tree and began to grow. As people looked on, the tree became fully grown, with fruits that fully ripened. Thus everyone was struck with wonder. The Lord immediately picked about 200 fruits, and after washing them, he offered them to Krishna to eat. The fruits were all red and yellow, with no seed inside and no skin outside, and eating one fruit would immediately fill a man's belly. Seeing the quality of the mangoes, the Lord was greatly satisfied, and thus after eating first, he fed all the other devotees. The fruits had no seeds or skins. They were full of nectarine juice, and were so sweet that a man would be fully satisfied by eating only one. In this way, fruits grew on the tree every day throughout the 12 months of the year, and the Vaishnavs used to eat them to the Lord's great satisfaction. These are confidential pastimes of the son of Shachi. Other than devotees, no one knows of this incident. In this way, the Lord performed Sankirtan every day, and at the end of Sankirtan, there was a mango-eating festival every day for 12 months. Once, while Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was performing kirtan, clouds assembled in the sky, and the Lord, by his own will, immediately stopped them from pouring rain. One day, the Lord ordered Srivas Thakur to read the Brihat Sahasranam, or the thousand names of Lord Vishnu, for he wanted to hear them at that time. As he read the thousand names of the Lord, in due course, the holy name of Lord Nrsimha appeared. When Chaitanya Mahaprabhu heard the holy name of Lord Nrsimha, he became fully absorbed in thought. In the mood of Lord Nrsimhadev, Lord Chaitanya ran through the city streets, club in hand, ready to kill all the atheists. Seeing him appearing very fierce in the ecstasy of Lord Nrsimha, people ran from the streets and fled here and there, afraid of his anger. Seeing the people so afraid, the Lord came to his external senses and thus returned to the house of Srivas Thakur and threw away the club. The Lord became morose and said to Srivas Thakur, "When I adopted the mood of Lord Nrsimhadev, people were greatly afraid. Therefore, I stopped, since causing fear among people is an offense." Srivas Thakur replied,
"Anyone who takes your holy name vanquishes 10 million of his offenses immediately. There was no offense in your appearing as Nrsimhadev. Rather, any man who saw you in that mood was immediately liberated from the bondage of material existence."
After saying this, Srivas Thakur worshipped the Lord, who was then greatly satisfied, and returned to his own home. On another day, a great devotee of Lord Shiva, chanting of Lord Shiva's qualities, came to Lord Chaitanya's house, where he began dancing in the courtyard and playing his damaru, or a musical instrument. Then Lord Chaitanya, adopting the mood of Lord Shiva, got on the man's shoulders, and thus they danced together for a long time. On another day, a mendicant came to beg alms from the Lord's house, but when he saw the Lord dancing, he also began to dance. He danced with the Lord because he was favored by love of Krishna. Thus he flowed in the mellowness of love of God. On another day, an astrologer came who was supposed to know everything, past, present, and future. Thus Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu received him with all honor and put this question before him. Please tell me who I was in my previous birth. Please tell me by your astrological computations. Hearing the words of the Lord, the astrologer immediately began to calculate. Through calculation and meditation, the all-knowing astrologer saw the greatly effulgent body of the Lord, which is the resting place of all the unlimited Vaikuntha planets. Seeing Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to be the same absolute truth, the supreme Brahman, the personality of Godhead, the astrologer was confused. Struck with wonder, the astrologer remained silent, unable to speak. But when the Lord again put the question before him, he replied as follows.
My dear sir, in your previous birth, you were the shelter of all creation, the supreme personality of Godhead, full of all opulences. You are now the same personality of Godhead that you were in your previous birth. Your identity is inconceivable eternal happiness.
When the astrologer was speaking so highly of him, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu stopped him and began to smile. My dear sir, he said, I think you do not know very clearly what I was, for I know that in my previous birth I was a cowherd boy. In my last birth I was born in the family of cowherd men, and I gave protection to the calves and cows. Because of such pious activities, I have now become the son of a Brahmin. The astrologer said,
What I saw in meditation was full of opulence, and therefore I was confused. I am certain that your form and the form I saw in my meditation are one and the same. If I see any difference, this is an act of your illusory energy. Whatever you may be, or whoever you may be, I offer my respectful obeisances unto you.
By his causeless mercy, the Lord then gave him love of Godhead, thus rewarding him for his service. One day the Lord sat down in the corridor of a Vishnu temple and began calling very loudly, Bring some honey! Bring some honey! Nityananda Prabhu Goswami, understanding the ecstatic mood of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, brought a pot of Ganges water as a token and put it before him. After drinking the water, Lord Chaitanya became so ecstatic that he began to dance. Thus everyone saw the pastime of attracting the river Yamuna. When the Lord, in his ecstasy of Baladev, was moving as if intoxicated by the beverage, Advaitacharya, the chief of the Acharyas, saw him in the form of Balaram. Vanamali Acharya saw a golden plow in the hand of Balaram, and the devotees all assembled together and danced, overwhelmed by ecstasy. In this way they danced continuously for 12 hours, and in the evening they all took bath in the Ganges and then returned to their homes. The Lord ordered all the citizens of Navadvip to chant the Hare Krishna mantra, and in each and every home they began performing Sankirtan regularly. All the devotees sang this popular song along with the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. Haraye Nama Krishna Yadava Nama Gopal Govindaram Sri Madhusudan. When the Sankirtan movement thus started, no one in Navadvip could hear any other sound than the words Hari, Hari, and the beating of the murdunga and clashing of handbells. Krishna, Hearing the resounding vibration of the Hare Krishna mantra, the local Mohammedans, greatly angry, submitted a complaint to the Qazi, or city magistrate. Chand Qazi angrily came to one home in the evening, and when he saw kirtan going on, he broke a mridanga and spoke as follows.
For so long you did not follow the regulative principles of the Hindu religion. But now you are following them with great enthusiasm. May I know by whose strength you are doing so? No one should perform sankirtan on the streets of the city. Today I am excusing the offense and returning home. The next time I see someone performing such sankirtan, certainly I shall chastise him, not only by confiscating all his property, but also converting him into a Mohammedan.
After saying this, the Qazi returned home, and the devotees, greatly shocked that they were forbidden to chant Hare Krishna, submitted their grief to Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Lord Chaitanya ordered, "Go perform sankirtan. Today I shall kill all the Mohammedans." Returning home, all the citizens began performing sankirtan, but because of the order of the Qazi, they were not carefree, but always full of anxiety. Understanding the anxiety within the people's minds, the Lord called them together and spoke to them as follows. In the evening, I shall perform sankirtan in each and every town. Therefore, you should all decorate the city in the evening. In the evening, burn torchlights in every home. I shall give protection to everyone. Let us see what kind of Qazi comes to stop our kirtan. In the evening, Lord Gaudasandra went out and formed three parties to perform kirtan. In the front party danced Thakur Haridas, and in the middle party danced Advaita Acharya with great jubilation. Lord Gaudasandra himself danced in the rear party, and Sri Nityananda Prabhu moved with Lord Chaitanya's dancing. By the grace of the Lord, Srila Vrindavan Das Thakur has elaborately described this incident in his Chaitanya Mangal. Performing kirtan in this way, circumambulating every nook and corner of the city, they finally reached the door of the Qazi. Murmuring in anger and making a roaring sound, the people, under the protection of Lord Chaitanya, became mad through such indulgence. The loud sound of the chanting of the Hare Krishna mantra certainly made the Qazi very much afraid, and he hid himself within his room. Hearing the people thus protesting, murmuring in great anger, the Qazi would not come out of his home. Naturally, some of the people who were very much agitated began to retaliate the Qazi's actions by wrecking his house and flower garden. Srila Vrindavan Das Thakur has elaborately described this incident. Thereafter, when Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu reached the Qazi's house, he sat down by the doorway and sent some respectable persons to call for the Qazi. When the Qazi came, his head bowed down, the Lord gave him proper respect and a seat. In a friendly way, the Lord said, "Sir, I have come to your house as your guest, but upon seeing me, you hid yourself in your room. What kind of etiquette is this?" The Qazi replied,
"You have come to my house in a very angry mood. To pacify you, I did not come before you immediately, but kept myself hidden. Now that you have become pacified, I have come to you. It is my good fortune to receive a guest like your honor. In our village relationship, Nilambara Chakravati Thakur was my uncle. Such a relationship is stronger than a bodily relationship. Nilambara Chakravati is your maternal grandfather, and by this relationship you are thus my nephew. When a nephew is very angry, his maternal uncle is tolerant. And when the maternal uncle commits an offense, the nephew does not take it very seriously.
In this way, the Qazi and the Lord talked with one another, with different indications, but no outsider could understand the inner meaning of their conversation. The Lord said, "My dear uncle, I have come to your home just to ask you some questions."
"Yes, you are welcome. Just tell me what is in your mind."
"You drink cow's milk. Therefore the cow is your mother. And the bull produces grains for your maintenance. Therefore he is your father. Since the bull and cow are your father and mother, how can you kill and eat them? What kind of religious principle is this? On what strength are you so daring that you commit such sinful activities?" The Qazi replied,
"As you have your scriptures called the Vedas and Puranas, we have our scripture known as the Holy Quran. According to the Quran, there are two ways of advancement, through increasing the propensity to enjoy and decreasing the propensity to enjoy. On the path of decreasing attachment or nivritti marga, the killing of animals is prohibited. On the path of material activities, there is regulation for killing cows. If such killing is done under the guidance of scripture, well, there is no sin. In your Vedic scriptures, there is an injunction for killing a cow. On the strength of this injunction, great sages perform sacrifices involving cow killing."
Refuting the Qazi's statement, the Lord immediately replied, "The Vedas clearly enjoin that cows should not be killed. Therefore, any Hindu, whoever he may be, does not indulge in cow killing. In the Vedas and the Puranas, there are injunctions declaring that if one can revive a living being, then he can kill it for experimental purposes. Therefore, the great sages sometimes killed old animals, and by chanting Vedic hymns, they again brought them to life for perfection. The killing and rejuvenation of such old and invalid animals was not truly killing, but an act of great benefit. Formerly, there were powerful Brahmins who could make such experiments using Vedic hymns, but now, because of Kali Yuga, Brahmins are not so powerful. Therefore, the killing of cows and bulls for rejuvenation is forbidden. In this age of Kali, five acts are forbidden: the offering of a horse sacrifice, the offering of a cow in sacrifice, the acceptance of the order of sannyas, the offering of oblations of flesh to the forefathers, and a man's begetting children in his brother's wife. Since you Mohammedans cannot bring killed animals back to life, you are responsible for killing them. Therefore you are going to hell. There is no way for your deliverance. Cow killers are condemned to rot in hellish life for as many thousands of years as there are hairs on the body of a cow. There are many mistakes and illusions in your scriptures. Their compilers, not knowing the essence of knowledge, gave orders that were against reason and argument. After hearing these statements by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, the Qazi, his argument stunned, could not put forward any more words. Thus, after due consideration, the Qazi accepted defeat and spoke as follows.
"My dear Nimai Pandit, what you have said is all true. Yes, our scriptures have developed only recently, and they are certainly not logical and philosophical. I know that our scriptures are full of imagination and mistaken ideas, yet because I am a Mohammedan, I accept them for the sake of my community, despite their insufficient support. The reasoning and arguments in the scriptures of the meat-eaters are not very sound."
Upon hearing this statement, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu smiled and inquired from him as follows. "My dear maternal uncle, I wish to ask you another question. Please tell me the truth. Do not try to cheat me now with tricks. In your city, there is always congregational chanting of the Holy Name. A tumultuous uproar of music, singing, and dancing is always going on. As a Mohammedan magistrate, you have the right to oppose the performance of Hindu ceremonies, but now you do not forbid them. I cannot understand the reason why. The Qazi said,
"Everyone calls you Goda Hari. Please let me address you by that name. Kindly listen, O Goda Hari. If you come to a private place, I shall then explain the reason."
The Lord replied, "All these men are my confidential associates. You may speak frankly. There is no reason to be afraid of them." The Qazi said,
"All right. When I went to the Hindu's house and broke the drum and forbade the performance of congregational chanting, in my dreams that very night, I saw a greatly fearful lion roaring very loudly, his body like a human being's and his face like a lion's. Well, while I was asleep, the lion jumped on my chest, laughing fiercely and gnashing his teeth. Placing its nails on my chest, the lion said in a grave voice, 'I shall immediately bifurcate your chest as you broke the Vedanga drum. You have forbidden the performance of my congregational chanting. Therefore, I must destroy you.' Being very much afraid of him, I closed my eyes and then trembled. Seeing me so afraid, the lion said, 'I have defeated you just to teach you a lesson, but I must be merciful to you. On that day, you did not create a very great disturbance. Therefore, I have excused you and not taken your life. But if you perform such activities again, I shall not be tolerant. At that time, I shall kill you, your entire family, and all the meat-eaters.' After saying this, the lion left, but I was very much afraid of him. Just here, look, just see the marks of his nails on my chest."
After this description, the Qazi showed his chest. Having heard him and seen the marks, all the people there accepted the wonderful incident. The Qazi continued,
"I did not speak to anyone about this incident, but on that very day, one of my orderlies came to see me. After coming to me, the orderly said, 'When I went to stop the congregational chanting, suddenly flames struck from my face. My beard was burned, and there were blisters on my cheeks.' Every orderly who went gave the same description. After seeing this, I was very much afraid. I asked them not to stop the congregational chanting, but to go sit down at home. Then all the meat-eaters came to submit a petition, complaining, 'After this order, there will always be unrestricted congregational chanting in the city. In this way, the religion of the Hindus will increase unlimitedly. There are always vibrations of Hari, 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 Hari. We do not hear anything but this.' One meat-eater said, 'The Hindus say Krishna, Krishna. And they smile, cry, dance, chant, and fall on the ground, smearing their bodies with dirt. Vibrating Hari, Hari, the Hindus make a tumultuous sound. If the king hears it, oh, certainly he will punish you.' I then inquired from these Yavanas, 'I know that these Hindus by nature chant Hari, Hari. The Hindus chant the name Hari because that is the name of their god. But you are a Mohammedan meat-eater. Why do you chant the name of the Hindu god?' The meat-eater replied, 'Sometimes I joke with the Hindus. Some of them are called Krishna Das and some are called Ram Das. Some of them are called Hari Das. They always chant Hari, Hari. And because that also means I am stealing, well, I thought they would steal the riches from someone's house. And since that time, my tongue also always vibrates the sound, Hari, Hari. I have no desire to say it, but still my tongue goes on saying it. I do not know what to do. Another meat-eater said, Sir, please hear me. Since the day I joked with some Hindus in this way, my tongue chants the Hare Krishna hymn, and I cannot give it up. I do not know what mystic hymns and herbal potions these Hindus know. After hearing all this, I sent all the malechas or meat-eaters back to their homes. Five or seven non-believing Hindus then approached me. Coming to me, the Hindus complained, Nimai Pandit has broken the Hindu religious principles. He has introduced the Sankirtan system, which we never heard from any scripture. When we keep a night-long vigil to observe religious performances for the worship of Mangalachandi or Visahadi, playing on musical instruments, dancing and chanting are certainly fitting customs. Nimai Pandit was previously a very good boy, but since he has returned from Gaya, he conducts himself differently. Now he loudly sings all kinds of songs, clapping and playing drums and handbills and, making a tumultuous sound that deafens our ears. We do not know what he eats that makes him become mad, dancing and singing, sometimes laughing and crying, falling down, jumping up and, rolling on the ground. He has made all the people practically mad by always performing congregational chanting. And at night, we cannot get any sleep. We're always awake. Now he has given up his own name, Nimai, and introduced himself by the name Godahadi. He has spoiled the Hindu religious principles and introduced the irreligion of non-believers. Now the lower classes are chanting the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra again and again. For this sinful activity, the entire city of Navadvip will be deserted. According to Hindu scripture, God's name is supposed to be the most powerful hymn. If everyone hears the chanting of the name, the potency of the hymn will be lost. Sir, you are the ruler of this town. Whether Hindu or Muslim, everyone is under your protection. Therefore, please call Nimai Pandit and make him leave the town. Well, after hearing their complaints in sweet words, I told them, back home. I shall certainly prohibit Nimai Pandit from continuing his Hare Krishna movement. My dear Godahari, I know that Narayan is the supreme god of the Hindus, and I think that you, yes, you are the same Narayan. This I feel within my mind.
After hearing the Qazi speak so nicely, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu touched him and smilingly spoke as follows. The chanting of the holy name of Krishna from your mouth has performed a wonder. It has nullified the reactions of all your sinful activities. Now you have become supremely pure. Because you have chanted three holy names of the Lord, Hari, Krishna, and Narayan, you are undoubtedly the most fortunate and pious. After the Qazi heard this, tears flowed down from his eyes. He immediately touched the lotus feet of the Lord and spoke the following sweet words.
Only by your mercy have my bad intentions vanished. Kindly favor me so that my devotion may always be fixed upon you.
The Lord said, I wish to beg you for one favor in charity. You must pledge that this Sankirtan movement will not be checked, at least in the district of Nadia. The Qazi said,
To as many descendants as take birth in my dynasty in the future, I give this grave admonition. No one should check the Sankirtan movement.
Hearing this, the Lord got up, chanting, Hari, Hari. Following him, all the other Vaishnavas also got up, chanting the vibration of the holy name. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu went back to perform kirtan, and the Qazi, his mind jubilant, went with him. The Lord asked the Qazi to go back home. Then the son of Mother Shachi came back to his own home, dancing and dancing. This is the incident concerning the Qazi and the Lord's mercy upon him. Anyone who hears this is also freed from all offenses. One day, the two brothers, Lord Nityananda Prabhu and Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, were dancing in the holy house of Srivas Thakur. At that time, a calamity took place. Srivas Thakur's son died. Yet Srivas Thakur was not at all sorry. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu caused the dead son to speak about knowledge, and then the two brothers personally became the sons of Srivas Thakur. Thereafter, the Lord charitably bestowed his benediction upon all his devotees. He gave the remnants of his food to Narayani, showing her special respect. There was a tailor who was a meat eater, but was sewing garments for Srivas Thakur. The Lord, being merciful to him, showed him his own form. The tailor shouted, "I have seen! I have seen!" And dancing in ecstatic love as though mad, he became a first-class Vaishnav. In ecstasy, the Lord asked Srivas Thakur to deliver his flute, but Srivas Thakur replied, "Your flute has been stolen away by the gopis." Hearing this reply, the Lord said in ecstasy, "Go on talking! Go on talking!" Thus, Srivas described the transcendental mellow pastimes of Sri Vrindavan. In the beginning, Srivas Thakur described the transcendental sweetness of Vrindavan's pastimes. Hearing this, the Lord felt great and increasing jubilation in his heart. Thereafter, the Lord again and again asked him, "Speak on! Speak on!" Thus, Srivas again and again described the pastimes of Vrindavan, vividly expanding them. Srivas Thakur extensively explained how the gopis were attracted to the forests of Vrindavan by the vibration of Krishna's flute, and how they wandered together in the forest. Srivas Pandit narrated all the pastimes enacted during the six changing seasons. He described the drinking of honey, the celebration of the Ras dance, the swimming in the Yamuna, and other such incidents. When the Lord, hearing with great pleasure, said, "Go on speaking, go on speaking," Srivas Thakur described the Ras Leela, the transcendental mellow dancing. As thus the Lord requested, and Srivas Thakur spoke, the morning appeared, and the Lord embraced Srivas Thakur and satisfied him. Thereafter, a dramatization of Krishna's pastimes was performed in the house of Advaitacharya. The Lord personally took the part of Rukmini, the foremost of Krishna's queens. The Lord sometimes took the part of Goddess Durga, Lakshmi, or the Goddess of Fortune, or the chief potency, Yogamaya. Sitting on a cot, he delivered love of Godhead to all the devotees present. One day, when Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu had finished his dancing, a woman, the wife of a Brahmin, came there and caught hold of his lotus feet. As she took the dust of his lotus feet again and again, the Lord became unlimitedly unhappy. Immediately he ran to the river Ganges and jumped in to counteract the sinful activities of that woman. Lord Nityananda and Haridas Thakur caught him and raised him from the river. That night, the Lord stayed at the house of Vijaya Acharya. In the morning, the Lord took all his devotees and returned home. One day the Lord, in the ecstasy of the gopis, was sitting in his house. Very morose in separation, he was calling, "Gopi, Gopi." A student, who came to see the Lord, was astonished that the Lord was chanting, "Gopi, Gopi." Thus he spoke as follows, "Why are you chanting the names Gopi, Gopi, instead of the holy name of Lord Krishna, which is so glorious? What pious result will you achieve by such chanting?" Hearing the foolish student, the Lord, greatly angry, rebuked Lord Krishna out of love in various ways. Taking up a stick, he rose to strike the student. The student ran away in fear, and the Lord followed him. But somehow or other, the devotees checked the Lord. The devotees pacified the Lord and brought him home, and the student ran away to an assembly of other students. The Brahmin student ran to a place where 1,000 students were studying together. There he described the incident to them. Hearing of the incident, all the students, greatly angry, joined together in criticizing the Lord. They accused, "Nimai Pandit alone has spoiled the entire country. He wants to strike a caste Brahmin. He has no fear of religious principles. If he again performs such an atrocious act, certainly we shall retaliate and strike him in turn. Who is he, an important person, that he can check us in that way?" When all the students thus resolved, criticizing Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, their intelligence was spoiled. Thus, although they were learned scholars, because of this offense, the essence of knowledge was not manifest in them. But the proud student community did not become submissive. On the contrary, the students spoke of the incident anywhere and everywhere. In a laughing manner, they criticized the Lord. Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, being omniscient, could understand the degradation of these students. Thus he sat at home, contemplating how to rescue them. He thought, "All the so-called professors and scientists and their students generally follow the regulative principles of religion, fruitive activities, and austerities. Yet, at the same time, they are blasphemers and rogues. If I do not induce them to take to devotional service, because of committing the offense of blasphemy, none of these people will be able to take to it. Deliver all the fallen souls. But now, just the opposite has happened. How can these rogues be delivered? How may they be benefited? If these rogues offer me obeisances, the reactions of their sinful activities will be nullified. Then if I induce them, they will take to devotional service. I must certainly deliver all these fallen souls who blaspheme me and do not offer me obeisances. I should accept the sannyas order of life, for thus people will offer me their obeisances, thinking of me as a member of the renounced order. Offering obeisances will relieve them of all the reactions of their offenses. Then by my grace, devotional service, or bhakti, will awaken in their pure hearts. All the unfaithful rogues of this world can be delivered by this process. There is no alternative. This is the essence of the argument." After coming to this firm conclusion, the Lord continued to stay at home. In the meantime, Keshava Bharati came to the town of Nadia. The Lord offered him respectful obeisances and invited him to his house. After feeding him sumptuously, he submitted to him his petition. "Sir, you are directly Narayan. Therefore, please be merciful unto me. Deliver me from this material bondage." Keshava Bharati replied to the Lord,
"You are the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the Supersoul. I must do whatever you cause me to do, I am not independent of you."
After saying this, Keshava Bhadati, the spiritual master, went back to his village, Katva. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu went there and accepted the renounced order of life, or sannyas. When Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu accepted sannyas, three personalities were with him to perform all the necessary activities. They were Nityananda Prabhu, Chandrasekhar Acharya, and Mukunda Dutt. Thus, I have summarized the incidents of the Adi Leela. Sri Vrindavan Das Thakur has described them elaborately in his Chaitanya Bhagavat. The same Supreme Personality of Godhead, who appeared as the son of Mother Yashoda, has now appeared as the son of Mother Shachi, relishing four kinds of devotional activities. To taste the mellow quality of Srimati Radharani's loving affairs in her relationship with Krishna, and to understand the reservoir of pleasure in Krishna, Krishna himself, as Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, accepted the mood of Radharani. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu accepted the mood of the gopis, who accept Vrajendra Nandana, Sri Krishna, as their lover. It is firmly ascertained that the ecstatic mood of the gopis is possible only before Krishna and no one else. He has a bluish complexion, a peacock feather on his head, a gunja or cluster garland, and the decorations of a cowherd boy. His body is curved in three places, and he has a flute in his mouth. If Lord Krishna gives up this original form and assumes another Vishnu form, nearness to him cannot invoke the ecstatic mood of the gopis. Once Lord Krishna, with a playful motive, manifested himself as Narayan with four victorious hands and a very beautiful form. Seeing this exalted form, however, crippled the ecstatic feelings of the gopis. A learned scholar, therefore, cannot understand the gopis' ecstatic feelings, which are firmly fixed upon the original form of Lord Krishna as the son of Nanda Maharaj. The wonderful feelings of the gopis in ecstatic paramaras with Krishna are the greatest mystery in spiritual life. During the season of springtime, when the Ras dance was going on, suddenly Krishna disappeared from the scene, indicating that he wanted to be alone with Srimati Radharani. Krishna was sitting in a solitary bush, waiting for Srimati Radharani to pass by. But while he was searching, the gopis arrived there like a phalanx of soldiers. Seeing Krishna from a distant place, one gopi said, "Just see, here within a bush is Krishna, the son of Nanda Maharaj." As soon as Krishna saw all the gopis, he was struck with emotion. Thus, he could not hide himself, and out of fear, he became motionless. Krishna assumed his four-armed Narayan form and sat there. When all the gopis came, seeing him, they spoke as follows,
"He is not Krishna. He is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Narayan."
After saying this, they offered obeisances and the following respectful prayers.
"O Lord Narayan, we offer our respectful obeisances unto you. Kindly be merciful to us. Give us the association of Krishna and thus vanquish our lamentation."
After saying this and offering obeisances, all the gopis dispersed. Then Srimati Radharani came and appeared before Lord Krishna. When Lord Krishna saw Radharani, he wanted to maintain the four-armed form to joke with her. In front of Srimati Radharani, Sri Krishna tried to hide himself with the two extra arms. He tried his best to keep four arms before her, but he was completely unable to do so. The influence of Radharani's pure ecstasy is so inconceivably great that it forced Krishna to come to his original two-armed form. As Srila Rupa Goswami emphasized in the Ujvala Nilamani, prior to the Ras dance, Lord Krishna hid himself in a grove just to have fun. When the gopis came, their eyes resembling those of deer, by his sharp intelligence, he exhibited his beautiful four-armed form to hide himself. But when Srimati Radharani came there, Krishna could not maintain his four arms in her presence. This is the wonderful glory of her love. Father Nanda, the king of Vrajabhumi, is now Jagannath Mishra, the father of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And Mother Yashoda, the queen of Vrajabhumi, is now Shachi Devi, Lord Chaitanya's mother. The former son of Nanda Maharaj is now Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And the former Baladev, Krishna's brother, is now Nityananda Prabhu, the brother of Lord Chaitanya. Sri Nityananda Prabhu always feels the ecstatic emotions of fraternity, servitude, and friendship. He always assists Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in that way. Sri Nityananda Prabhu overflooded the entire world by distributing transcendental loving service. No one can understand his character and activities. Srila Advaitacharya Prabhu appeared as an incarnation of a devotee. He is in the category of Krishna, but he descended to this earth to propagate devotional service. His natural emotions were always on the platform of fraternity and servitude, but the Lord sometimes treated him as his spiritual master. All the devotees of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, headed by Srivas Thakur, have their own emotional humors in which they render service unto him. Personal associates like Gadadhar, Svarup Damodar, Ramananda Rai, and the six Goswamis, headed by Rupa Goswami, are all situated in their respective transcendental humors. Thus the Lord submits to various transcendentally mellow positions. In Krishna Lila, the Lord's complexion is blackish. A flute in his mouth, he enjoys as a cowherd boy. Now the self-same person has appeared with a fair complexion, sometimes acting as a Brahmin, and sometimes accepting the renounced order of life. Therefore, the Lord himself, accepting the emotional ecstasy of the gopis, now addresses the son of Nanda Maharaj, O master of my life, O my dear husband, he is Krishna, yet he has accepted the mood of the gopis. How is it so? It is the inconceivable character of the Lord, which is very difficult to understand. One cannot understand the contradictions in Lord Chaitanya's character by putting forward mundane logic and arguments. Consequently, one should not maintain doubts in this connection. One should simply try to understand the inconceivable energy of Krishna. Otherwise, one cannot understand how such contradictions are possible. The pastimes of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu are inconceivable and wonderful. His ecstasy is wonderful, his qualities are wonderful, and his behavior is wonderful. If one simply adheres to mundane arguments and therefore does not accept this, he will boil in the hell of Kumbhipak. For him, there is no deliverance. Anything transcendental to material nature is called inconceivable, whereas arguments are all mundane. Since mundane arguments cannot touch transcendental subject matters, one should not try to understand transcendental subjects through mundane arguments. Only a person who has firm faith in the wonderful pastimes of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu can approach his lotus feet. In this discourse, I have explained the essence of the devotional conclusion. anyone who hears this develops unalloyed devotional service to the Lord. If I repeat what is already written, I may thus relish the purpose of this scripture. We can see in the scripture, Srimad Bhagavatam, the conduct of its author, Sri Vyasadeva. After speaking the narration, he repeats it again and again. Therefore, I shall enumerate the chapters of the Adi Lila. In the first chapter, I offer obeisances to the spiritual master, for this is the beginning of auspicious writing. The second chapter explains the truth of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Lord Krishna, the son of Maharaj Nanda. Sri Krishna Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who is Krishna himself, has now appeared as the son of Mother Shachi. The third chapter describes the general cause of his appearance. The third chapter specifically describes the distribution of love of Godhead. It also describes the religion of the age, which is simply to distribute the holy name of Lord Krishna and propagate the process of loving him. The fourth chapter describes the main reason for his appearance, which is to taste the mellow quality of his own transcendental loving service and his own sweetness. The fifth chapter describes the truth of Lord Nityananda Prabhu, who is none other than Balaram, the son of Rohini. The sixth chapter considers the truth of Advaitacharya. He is an incarnation of Mahavishnu. The seventh chapter describes the Panchatattva, Sri Chaitanya, Prabhu Nityananda, Sri Advaita, Gadadhara, and Sri Vas. They all combine together to distribute love of Godhead everywhere. The eighth chapter gives the reason for describing Lord Chaitanya's pastimes. It also describes the greatness of Lord Krishna's holy name. The ninth chapter describes the desire tree of devotional service. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu himself is the gardener who planted it. The tenth chapter describes the branches and sub-branches of the main trunk and the distribution of their fruits. The 11th chapter describes the branch called Sri Nityananda Prabhu. The 12th chapter describes the branch called Sri Advaita Prabhu. The 13th chapter describes the birth of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, which took place with the chanting of the holy name of Krishna. The 14th chapter gives some description of the Lord's childhood pastimes. The 15th briefly describes the Lord's boyhood pastimes. In the 16th chapter, I have indicated the pastimes of the Kishore age, the age prior to youth. In the 17th chapter, I have specifically described his youthful pastimes. Thus, there are 17 varieties of subjects in the first canto, which is known as the Adi Lila. 12 of these constitute the preface of this scripture. After the chapters of the preface, I have described 5 transcendental mellows in 5 chapters. I have described them very briefly rather than expansively. By the order and strength of Sri Nityananda Prabhu, Srila Vrindavan Das Thakur has elaborately described in his Chaitanya Mangal all that I have not. The pastimes of Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu are wonderful and unlimited. Even personalities like Lord Brahma, Lord Shiva, and Sheshanag cannot find their end. Anyone who describes or hears any part of this elaborate subject will very soon receive the causeless mercy of Sri Krishna Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. The Panchatattva is composed of Sri Krishna Chaitanya, Prabhu Nityananda, Sri Advaita, Gadadhar, Sri Vas, and all the devotees of Lord Chaitanya. I offer my respectful obeisances to all the residents of Vrindavan. I wish to place their lotus feet on my head in great humbleness. I wish to place the lotus feet of the Goswamis on my head. Their names are Sri Svarup Damodar, Sri Rupa Goswami, Sri Sanatan Goswami, Sri Raghunath Das Goswami, and Sri Jiva Goswami. Placing their lotus feet on my head, always hoping to serve them, I, Krishna Das, narrate Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, following in their footsteps. This ends chapter 17 of the Adi Lila and the Adi Lila itself.